Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a guy who is definitely not savvy as hell. I am Rob Sesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our feedback show here for week number four of Survivor 41. For a second, I was trying to think of what's the name of the season? No, it's just Survivor 41. Here we are. Reem Daly will join us. And so we're very excited to have Reem back with us on the podcast.
Are you?
Yes, of course I am. Of course I am. So excited to have Reem, one of the great guests. So we are blessed here today to have the chance to catch up with Reem during the fourth week, maybe the best week of Survivor 41. It's definitely been maybe the best week of the podcast because in addition to the know-it-alls and talking with JD, great interview with Parvati. I've gotten a lot of nice feedback about that one. And I hope you have time to check out my interview with Rory as well, because that it's always exciting when we get to hear from one of the really old school Survivor players. And Rory was a lot of fun on the podcast, had a lot of funny things that broke me up a couple of times on the podcast. So great stuff from Rory. And you can hear that, of course, in our Survivor podcast feed at robswebsite.com/subscribe. Of course, today we got the feedback show. We'd love to get your feedback questions here on the podcast. Of course, you can send them in every week. Love to get those voicemails from you. I feel like it's so fun to get to hear from the listeners in the podcast. If you are wondering how that's done, robswebsite.com/voicemail for that. We'll have one more opportunity to hear from the listeners of Rob's podcast this Monday night. LaTanya Starks is going to join me for our patron feedback show, and we will get that off and running 7 p.m. Eastern. If you're a patron of Rob's podcast, we also did a postseason edition of The Slop. So much going on in the world of Big Brother 23. Still, it's still going, believe it or not. We got a new couple even. Usually, you know, that doesn't usually develop 2.5 weeks after the season is over. Here's a new showmance or post showmance. It's happening. Claire and Derek X. Lots of talk about that and the photos from Us magazine this week. That's up in our patron podcast feed. So much for you to check out when you become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. Now, I've got a sponsor to thank, of course, the patrons of Rob's podcast. We post the ad-free edition of the feedback show for them, so they won't be hearing this. But for everybody else, I want to take a moment and thank our friends over at BetterHelp. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? For me, could be you know, a lot of stress from working, moving, family issues, you name it. Whatever's going on in your world, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional therapy done securely online. You know, there's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. This service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't have to ever sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as you might with traditional therapy. And BetterHelp, they're committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches to make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Tons of great reviews for BetterHelp if you check out betterhelp.com/reviews. When you visit betterhelp.com/RJP, that's Better H-E-L-P. Join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. Special offer for RHAP listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/RHAP. All right, everybody. We are so honored to have with us one of my favorite people. Not even that I get to talk to on the podcast, but just in general, one of the great ones here today. Of course, that she was referenced here in Survivor 41, as she should be in every single season. You know her from The Edge of Extinction. The great Reem Daly is here. Reem, how are you?
That was a killer introduction, man. Thank you so much. It is an honor
to be your friend and yes. to text and to be invited. Did you hear anything I just said, by the way?
Yes, of course.
My phone is in and out. Okay, cool. But I want to say thank you because you're not just a survivor family. I really consider you my friend. Sometimes I just like to text you random yeah. stuff and you respond. Thank you.
Good. Well, I always love to hear from you. And I just want to mention that you sent me like the nicest video a few months ago where, you know, somebody let you know I was having a hard week and you sent me like the nicest, like 8 minute video on Cameo, that it was, it was so sincere. And, I really appreciate that. And, I'm so glad that, you are, such a great friend.
Oh, well, I'm glad. I hope that made you smile, man.
Yeah. You always do.
Cameo is a funny thing. Oh, you're nice. I feel bad. I actually raised my prices. You know why I raised my prices?
Because you got so many.
Because I literally, no, not at all. Actually, I hardly get any. And that's why I feel bad doing it. But I just don't, I hate taking time away. But if it's, I'm doing it, you know. And then, you know what? Also, I saw some people that weren't really putting in effort and charging a lot. And I was like, you know what? I actually put in the effort. So.
Yeah.
There you go. That's why I did it. Not to sound like a jerk, but that's why, in case anyone was wondering, because I did say before that I was a woman of the people and I wouldn't do it. But then
yeah,
you see things happen before you and you're like, you got to get with the times now.
Yeah. Too many people mailing it in on the cameos. Okay. Go to Ream if you want a real one. Okay.
No, it's all good. I just, whatever. Anyway, I felt bad because I felt like I was out. I had lied and I didn't want to seem like a liar. So I wanted to clean that up.
Okay.
But Survivor 41, I've been listening
to the podcast
that you've spoken with. Totally. Yes. I mean, I got to do my homework, man.
Yeah.
Obviously I'm not who you go to for the, what do you think of all this strategizing? I mean, you've talked poverty, you've, talked to everyone who's gotten voted out to get the real scoop of what went down, because that's the thing, man. We don't really know what's going on. There is so much going on. That's why we're all blindsided every week. We're like, wait, what? Yeah. When? And so, that's what I think we need to understand is what is going on, man.
Yeah. Reem, were you disappointed?
And that's the thing. There's so much.
When you went to the edge that you didn't do like the, phone interviews with all the press when you got voted out.
Two things about that. Like, I'm sorry. I wanted to go on Survivor just to freaking go on Survivor. I literally wasn't thinking about how much airtime am I going to get or, I wonder if this is like, who thinks like that? Like, I wouldn't even think about not being able to do I was kind of annoyed that they were in my face with a camera because I was like, I'm like literally melting down over here. Roll out. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't, that's the last thing I was thinking of. So,
I don't know. Yeah. I thought about that. I was like, you get to do like a bunch of interviews. Like, that's exciting.
Well, you do it beforehand. I wouldn't, I just wouldn't assume anything would be out there until, I don't know. I didn't think about that. Honestly.
Yeah. Okay, but we're going to talk Survivor, but I'm sure everybody wants to know, how's everything going, in your world?
Everything's good. Very good. My son's off to college. My other two daughters are juniors, and work's going well and everyone's happy. So that's all that matters, man.
Okay.
You got to keep your circle tight and keep them healthy, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not like, I didn't like, turn into a supermodel during this time. If that's what you're wondering. I did turn 50 and I'm cool with that.
Well, congratulations. Totally cool with it.
I didn't think you'd make it. Congratulations. thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm embracing it like big time. I'm digging it. It's fine. It's a great, I don't want to. I'm 50. I don't have to. And you know what's hilarious? Like Snoop Dogg, do you follow him on TikTok?
Snoop Dogg has the same birthday as me, but I don't think I followed him on TikTok.
Does he really? His birthday's Wednesday. Rob's birthday is Wednesday, the 20th.
That's right. Whoop. That's right.
I didn't know that was Snoop's birthday. Thank you for telling me. There's this one TikTok that's so funny. Do you remember that commercial? The best part of waking
up.
Yes, yes. Remember that?
Yep.
So he in this TikTok is like walking through his house and he's like, the best part of waking up is not giving up. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
and then
you
he's
know,
like
I can see that one.
Yelling and he's like, shut off the bathroom, take out. I mean, he was just, it's just funny. It's just like, I don't care. Do this. Do that. It was hilarious. I don't know. It really spoke to me. Yeah. Anyway, follow Snoop on TikTok.
Are you big into TikTok?
No, but you know what? Honestly, my children send me things and then I go down a rabbit hole and then I'm like, please. And then like, they'll send me something else and then I go down the rabbit hole. And that's where I discovered Snoop on TikTok. Mm-hmm. So I did follow him.
Yeah.
But I don't like, I'm not huge into that. If you send me something, I might go down a rabbit hole. But
okay.
I'm not looking
for it. If I see anything, I'm going to send it to you.
Okay, please do.
Okay.
And I will send you that Snoop one, dude. I'll send it to you right now. Hilarious.
Reem, did you do anything big to celebrate the milestone?
Dude, I just told you what happened, man.
I know you had that. I thought maybe you had other plans that you did to to celebrate.
I do have other plans.
Yeah.
All right, so on my 50th birthday, I took my dog on a fat walk. I went to the gym. I did some stuff that I like to do just to make sure I can still do it, which was probably a bad idea.
Yeah.
And then I went for a fat bike ride with my girls in DC. It was a great day. And then I was going to chill with my best friend. They had gotten a hotel, like this rooftop pool. Like it was just stuff. We were just going to chill for the day. Dude, my back was like no bueno. And I had had situations prior to that because my roller skates, I got new bearings on them. And when I stood up, like I felt hard on my kitchen floor and I thought that I broke my tailbone. And then from there, and that was like a few weeks or whatever prior. So I thought maybe that's what was up. But then I just couldn't deal with the rest of the day. You know, like we went to dinner and I was like, we need to go. You know, I just didn't feel good. Next day, I'm in the freaking hospital. Whatever, I'm fine. Compliments of Elaine from season 39.
Yes.
I was talking to her and she told me, girl, you had a muscle spasm. And I'm like, you just gave me more information than two hospitals and a freaking chiropractor. Thank you. Thank you, Elaine. Honestly. That's how I knew that's what the problem was, actually. She was like, how do you feel today? And I was a little embarrassed to say I felt better because it was like, you know, and the award for best actress goes to, you know what I'm saying? Like
well, how does Elaine know so much about this? Does she get muscle spasms?
She had just told me this story about how she was, I don't know. I just told her the pain I was in and I told her what happened. Wow. And she said one time she was on this long road trip and her back was killing her and felt the same way. And you know, all you need, it went too far because it had hurt for a while. It went too far. Mm-hmm. And had I nipped that baby in the bud with like a muscle relaxer it was like the volcano erupted, as I like to say.
Yeah.
And at that point you had to just knock it out. And that was like, you know, narcotic style knockout. Mm-hmm. But I'm fine now. Thanks.
Okay.
But the birthday was cool and I'm definitely going to, I went to Colorado with my husband and I'm going, and we were very safe. Thank you. And I'm going to St. Bart's with my best friends in December, unless they close the island again, then we're not going, but that's our big celebration.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's really great that my wife turned 40 last year and we were going to plan something big and we didn't get to do anything for that milestone birthday. So that's great that you're getting to do something.
Yeah. Yeah. Go big on 50. Go big.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Reem, forget 50 though for Survivor. We're still on 41. We're not there yet for 50.
Uh-huh. How do you feel about what happened or what's been happening? The folks that have been voted off. I know that you were digging them. I know that your like favorites are out, man. Me too. Me too.
Well, I love the characters. And that's why I love you. You know, I love people that are interesting to watch. And I think that we've lost some good characters so far in this season.
Yeah.
Especially these last couple of weeks with Brad and JD back to back. I feel like that they were like a really like big personalities that we got to know over these last couple of weeks. So, no, I'm not happy.
No, I know. Me too, man. Like, honestly, there's still some good ones there. Don't get me wrong. No, dude, the edge was, I mean, come on, you know, we don't need to do that ever again, like ever again.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jeff. Thanks for having me, brother. I do appreciate it. But yeah. Moving forward, I like that they don't have rice. I want them all to starve. I mean, no offense, guys, but it is Survivor. And I like that because technically, when you say to production, I haven't eaten, they're like, you're fine. Because honestly, you don't have to have food. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't. You need to stay hydrated.
Mm-hmm.
And there is food there. Like, I personally didn't want to kill anything, but you know what? If someone else did, I understood it was going to go down anyway. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I like that they're not giving them rice because I like to see people strip down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for. Strip it down. Survivor. I like that.
Reem, I want to ask you a little bit about the challenge, the first challenge of the show, the reward challenge, where Heather really had a lot of struggles. And what I didn't realize when I watched the show initially on Wednesday, and I had gone back and watched it before we talked today, was that I think Heather was the first person to go for the Blue Tribe. And just nobody else, like the whole, like she was doing it the whole time that everybody else from the other teams like completed the challenge in the time that she was still going first, which, you know, must have been, I'm sure she was mortified when that was going on. But the reaction was that there was a lot of people cheering for her, especially Jeff's reaction to her was like, he was very, you know, obviously very impressed. Let me play a little bit. This is what Jeff had to say about Heather.
Heather, I just gotta say, for me, one of the reasons I'm still here 21 years later is because of moments like that. I love the gameplay of Survivor, but I really like it when somebody's vulnerable and lets us watch and then is rewarded with love from their competitors.
Wow.
That's nice.
Did you know that, Reem?
Well, I thought it was great, and I gave her a shout out on Twitter because you know what, that's not easy. And you know that whole time Jeff's lighting you up too. Like, and he said sometimes, Heather, you're never gonna get through this. Like, dude, I know what's happening. I don't need a reminder. Like, that's even more stressful. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I thought it was, he loves the human part of it. And I love that her team was really backing her up. Listen, everybody, I'm sure, was also thinking their own thing. But the fact that I love that dude, that NFL dude, what's his name? Danny. Yeah. I love him. I love that guy. I love him so much. And he just said all the right things, and they were all so kind. And you got to be kind too, man. Like, everybody's trying, you know what I mean? And guess what? Not everyone's awesome at everything. Yes, that was for a reward, and I love that they rallied around her. I truly do. And let's look at something else. Someone else is coming. Like, her flower has blossomed. Tiffany?
Yes.
She killed it in that challenge. I was impressed with her. Mm-hmm. And Heather, I just support with all my heart because she didn't give up. And I love that her team rallied around her to answer your question.
Reem, in watching that back again, I really feel like the show really highlighted that, Heather, you didn't give up. That's really, you know, you struggled, but like the most important thing was you never gave up. You didn't give up. And I just feel like that tonally, I think that this is something that Survivor really loves to talk about. And I think it's the whole point of the Edge of Extinction that you went through, where Survivor, like, I feel like that the almost the message of the show at this point is that, you know, like, look at what you can accomplish if you don't give up.
So that's interesting you say that. When we were asked to go back the first time, and we all were like, yes, Jeff was so freaking happy. Mm-hmm. He was like, this says a lot about casting. And it's true. I mean, you go through the ringer to get casted on Survivor. You know what I'm saying? Like, they get pissed if people quit, I would think. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what you're hoping to cast. You're hoping to cast someone that won't give up. You're hoping to cast someone that won't throw a challenge. But you're hoping to cast people that, you know, want this more than anything. That's what you're hoping for. So when you actually see that come to light, you're pretty psyched about it. So that's probably why he was like, yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as somebody who went through that, like, is that your takeaway also? Like, that is like the most important thing about Survivor, of never giving up?
Yeah, man. You don't give up.
Yeah.
You can't give up. You know what? You've got, you know, let's just take this back to Eminem. You've got one shot,
yes.
One opportunity. You don't know if you're ever going to have another opportunity to go back on there. Why? And I'm not, yo, like, don't be throwing me under the bus for people that had other options and chose to do different things. Like, good for them. But for me, I'm just speaking on behalf of Green Daily. I wanted everything that it was going to offer me. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to walk away from anything. So I didn't want to give up.
Mm-hmm. Let me play a voicemail for you. I've got some nice voicemails from the listeners of the podcast here. Some feedback questions. And so let me play one for you from our friend Megan the Librarian has a question for you, Reem.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Reem. This is Megan the Librarian calling. So, like Reem, I am a woman over 40, and I'm always sort of fascinated by the way Survivor portrays our demographic. This season, we have two in Heather and Tiffany, who both are getting sort of interesting edits. And so I was basically just wondering if Reem has any thoughts on the way women over 40 are portrayed on Survivor. Thank you. Bye.
And we're talking about Heather, and you mentioned Tiffany as well, and I thought that was a great question from Megan, the librarian. So do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, my first thought is, I feel like I would have done better on this season. but I just, that just always cracks me up. But listen, Tiffany's coming back, man. It's just the way that it is, right? It's like, the young lady, why am I forgetting her name? You know who I'm talking about? She's, hold on a second. I'm even watching it right now. The young lady on the tribe that went to, I'm going to tell her your name. Jeannie.
Okay. Yeah.
How old is Jeannie?
You know what? Let me see. Was that an oversight from Megan? Let's see. Jeannie Survivor.
I'm not saying she might be in her 30s, man. I don't know. She might be in her 20s. I don't know.
Yeah, she's 46. She? Yeah.
Okay. So, but she even said, like, I've been cooking for them. I've been like their mom. Like, and the thing is, when you are that type of person, maybe that's just who you are, and the edit is who you are. It's okay to be a mom-like person. You know what I mean? It's not like, it may be the edit, but that's, you know, they showed everything I was doing, man. It wasn't like they had actors in there. I was moving people's clothes. I was, you know, being caring, you know, so, or being real or being human, like, or not great at a challenge or whatever, you know, like, because I'm in my age group, it's we are who we are. So I don't think they're just giving them a bad edit. I think that's just who we are, and they may be enhancing on it a little bit, but whatever, you can't, I don't know. I think they're showing stuff that really happened, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that there's any particular
Did
things
I answer
that,
or no?
I think that we could talk about it a little bit more. Do you think that there's anything that a woman over 40 needs to be like thinking about in terms of like trying to anything that they have to do differently than players that are either, you know, in all sorts of different categories?
You know what? I messed up, and people forget, and maybe they forgot because, like I said, you are who you are, man. Like, you want to go in there and be in the right mindset and only think really about yourself and only like worry about your things and not worry about other people and not like throw them a blanket, let them get their own blood, whatever it is. Like you have to kind of reel it in. And sometimes it's hard to remember that because you're so excited to just be there and you're just, and you are who you are. Like maybe you just forget everything. Like it's hard. I don't know how you were like pregame or how you were like on day one, but the minute you all can talk to each other, it's like you're excited. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of end up maybe being who you are instead of what you were thinking you were going to go in there and be like. So bravo to people that can pull it together immediately. Like if I ever had another opportunity, I would hope to remember to just shut up and that, you know, it's hard to just remember. So mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Reem, let me play a question for you. This is from Holly, who wants to know what your thoughts are about the length of this season.
Hi, Robin, Reem. This is Holly Elaine. This is my first call in, but I just had to call in. First of all, I want to tell Reem that if we were ranking Survivor's moms, she would definitely be worth playing for, right up there with Ceri and T-Bird.
Wow.
But my question for Reem is how she feels about the new Survivor season only being 26 days when she spent 32 days on the edge of extinction. That means somebody's going to win a season and she spent more time on the island as a first boot. How does she feel about that? I'm sure it's going to get her feathers ruffled, and I just love a good Reem explanation. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Okay. Hold on, Holly. That
Reem talks in circles. Reem talks in circles.
We don't know for a fact that that's going to bother Reem.
That doesn't bother me, man, because you know what? We're lucky we're even getting anything, right? Maybe they couldn't do the longer length. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot going on this season, though. We're not really getting to know everybody, right? When you start with retribe, you really just focus on where the drama is or where people are losing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel like we don't really know everybody yet. As far as the length, I mean, whatever. At least they don't get rice. If they got rice and it was shorter, that would be like, come on, you know. Mm-hmm. But I like that they don't really get food. But what do you think? I don't really see a lot of eating going on unless it was a reward. What do you think? Do you think they're eating well?
No, it sounds like that they're not eating well. I mean, it doesn't seem like that they're having like any like supply of food that they're given. But I honestly, like, it's hard to tell, Reem, because I feel like as a viewer, we don't really see that anyway. Like when you played in Survivor 38, like when you got to the beach on day one, what did they give you, like a supply of rice for the tribe?
I want to say there was some rice there, but we had like all the stuff we had thrown over the boat.
Yeah.
But it was like, you know, a lot of it was like going to go bad any second. Like I hurled eating some nasty banana that was like had its better day, but,
mm-hmm.
but when that food is there, like on day one, you don't want to be greedy. So you're not going to like go out of your way to grab more stuff. You'll eat whatever was open that someone else opened and cut in to whatever portions for you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, I wish I grabbed a bunch of shit and went to tribal with it, but I didn't. But no, I'm fine with it being the length it is. I just wish that we could get to know people better, but when there's three, we're just going to have to wait until things get shuffled up, which I assume will be soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But I feel like we're not really, like, the past few tribals, like, did you think those people were going to get voted out? I don't think so.
I have been thrown off a lot from the edit. Not even just this season, like over the last few years. I do get it wrong. Like I'd say like half of the time of who's going to go home. So I was worried about JD a lot going into this trial, only because I felt like that. And, you know, I wear like sort of like the edit reading hat, like during the episode. I'm like, boy, like if Jeannie goes home, we really didn't get a lot about Jeannie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm,
And I was a little bit more worried that, I thought that maybe like Jeannie was going to play her shot in the dark die. And I thought maybe like Ricard or Shan might have even gone home.
Mm-hmm. I mean, who would you have voted out?
So based on, I did my exit interview with JD and it sounded like he was getting into some trouble in the tribe from the jump where he seemed like that he was up to trying to overthrow Shan and Ricard from the start. So I feel like that as much as Shan might have like had a personal liking for JD, I think that that was ultimately the deal breaker.
But wouldn't you think when she was like, hold up, boo, let me tell you what's up. Like, he didn't tell you about, you know, and she was sharing that she knew what was going on with all the advantages that Brad had. Wouldn't you kind of think to yourself, whoa, who else are you? But you know what I mean? Wouldn't you be like, you're someone that everybody's telling stuff to, like you are a threat. Would you think that or no?
Definitely.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah. What JD told me was that he wanted to vote out Shan, but he needed Jeannie to go along with him. Yep. So unfortunately, like he would.
Well, maybe if he had a double vote, he could have done like, what a dumbass. I'm sorry, JD. You shouldn't have freaking given it to her. Like, what?
Yeah.
Fool me once, brother. You said it yourself, man. Mm-hmm. Fool me once. Shame on me. Well, fool me twice.
The problem was that he said that Jeannie was locked in with Ricard and Shan. So even with his double vote, there was nothing that he could have done.
So what? You shouldn't have given it to her. No matter what, you shouldn't have given it to her.
Yeah. And maybe the mistake was last week that he helped vote out Brad.
You know, you just can't, if you see people, I mean, I don't know, here I am talking out of my rear end. I literally was the first one voted out, but I don't like that. When you see people getting all friendly, come on, man. That's why I was after Kelly. Cause I saw how much Lauren liked her. I was like, yo, those two are tight.
Yeah.
That's why I was onto that. Like when you see all that and she's great, like she's going to be fun to watch, man. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm rooting for her, but she's a huge threat.
Right.
Shan.
Yeah.
You know? And I think Tiffany's a huge threat too, man. I really do.
Really? Okay. Well, what are you seeing from Tiffany?
Dude, she was, remember when they all went to the mountain and she's like, I mean, she's thinking, she's strategizing, you know what I'm saying? She's in it. She might have been hungry for a minute, but she's been recharged and she did great in that last challenge and she's redeemed herself. You know what I'm saying? She's confident. She's got there are core fours going on over there. Like, I don't know. I feel like she's got some steam. I'm feeling it. But who am I to say?
You're Reem Daly. Reem. Going back to your tribal council, that, you know, your tribe did not make it a big secret what they were going to do. Would you have played the shot in the dark die? Do you like having that in the game?
I do. And I totally would have. And like, I wonder sometimes if I would have like stood up and been like played the old whisper in someone's ear or, hey, you know, if I would have mixed it up, I think I was just so mad that I didn't even like anybody enough at that point to say anything to anyone else than who I was talking to anyway. Mm-hmm. But yes, I would 1,000% like to have had that shot in the dark. I mean, obviously I went to the edge and that was a shot in the dark too, you know?
Yeah. And worse odds than 1-6 to get back in the game.
I mean, I like how it shakes people's thought process up. That's what I like. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The fact that it's out there, it could make people, you know, be like a little bit like more scrambling and might be a little bit more desperate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I like that. That's kind of fun. Right. Mm-hmm. But I do feel when they go to the mountain and it's like, okay, well, I could say protect my vote or lose a vote, whatever. I don't like that they've done that more than once because other people know what's going on. They can talk about it. You know, I like it more when it's a, like the first time. Am I wrong?
No,
you said, am I wrong?
You know, I like that they have it in the game, because I feel like that it gives people like, you know, at least a hope where you never have like a tribal council where it's just like, okay, well, this is an open and shut case and this person's going home and there's nothing they can do about it.
Mm-hmm. But do you think they should have done it more than once? Like the first time they did it was cool, but the second time everybody knew what to expect, that they talked about it. You know what I'm saying?
You're saying that
I liked it better when they were like, like, let's get to know each other. Do I think you'll do this or this?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting idea, but no, I did not like that they've done it a couple of times, because I felt like that it's been confusing every time. And I also feel like that it hasn't really added anything to the show when they have to guess what the other person is doing. So no, I really haven't liked that as part of the season. I think the mechanism is just a little wonky.
Would you have wanted to get rid of Erica because she seemed a little aggressive in the game and was like strategizing and wanting to get rid of that other chick?
Yeah, that's a good question. It depends on like who I am in that group, where I you know, I feel like that Deshaun really wanted to go to a tribal council. I think that they really value Sydney as an ally. And then once Erica says Sydney's name, like he seemed very eager to get rid of Erica. But I think that for Deshaun, you know, I understand the thought process of, hey, I don't want to go into the merge with the most numbers, but Erica looks at him as an ally. So I would never be like quick to want to get rid of people who, even if I knew, all right, I'm not really working with that person, I wouldn't necessarily want to be getting rid of people who were like thinking like I'm good with them.
I know. I just wouldn't even want to go to tribal council personally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd try to avoid that like a plague. Like I couldn't believe, you know, when you go into a merge and your tribe has numbers, you would assume that you would stay strong. You know what I mean? And get each other to a certain spot. And when people fall apart, it's like, why? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It should be that you want to stay strong and you want to get to a certain point, and then you guys can like, whatever. I don't know. You would think that's how it's been in some seasons, but whatever. It's weird when you see it fall apart. To me, it's weird.
Reem, I'd love to go back to JD, because JD was talking about you on the episode last week. Let me play this clip, and I'd love to get your reaction to this.
Don't say that I gave that to him. Do you think I'm stupid?
That's freaking Reem. I do woo like all the time.
Reem, what did you think of that? Did you feel like that was a good impression?
You know what's funny? It was like the day before my daughter's birthday, and I was just sitting here wrapping presents, and my husband and I were watching it, and I was like, I said that. And then I was like, what? And I looked up, and then he was like, that's Reem. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, are you serious? And so we paused it. And I'm like, that is hilarious, because when he was saying it, I was like, huh? It just sounded super familiar, and then I just thought it was funny. And honestly, I was honored. I was honored. Thank you.
That
Thank
must be
you,
surreal.
Survivor, because they didn't have to edit that in.
Yeah, so
that,
when you're watching the show,
appreciated
to have somebody like talking about you. Like it would
he was naked. He could have been making fun of me, but guess what? I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy about it. Thank you. Shout out. Thanks, JD.
But
don't give your stuff away next time, brother.
Could I give some feedback to JD? Because I feel like he's not even using any of your famous lines.
He's using a lot of people's lines. He likes to quote Woo too, man.
Quotes Woo.
I mean, I'm just honored to be part of his
repertoire.
Repertoire. You know what's funny? And they say that who was saying it? Probably was saying that you and JD are both like Survivor, know way too much people. But it is interesting to me. Like, I watch it, man, and I enjoy it. and then I watch something else and I enjoy it. Like I watch it, but I can't, I don't have a great memory. So you guys like memorize stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like you name off castmates. I mean, this is before you even had your podcast. You know what I mean? Like you guys really know what's up. So, your soulmate, I'm sure it's harder for you to see go. Is that right?
Who's the JD is my soulmate?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you guys are both like survivor soulmates. It sounded like, I mean, that's what I got out of it. Am I wrong?
That look, I don't know. Yeah, I think JD loves Survivor. I love Survivor. I mean, I definitely can identify with, you know, that, and I'm not like a super young person now, but you know, at one point when I was in my early 20s, you know, I looked at the people that were on this show with like such a reverence of they were all heroes to me. I mean, there was a point in my life where if I ever met anybody from Survivor, I don't know, my head would explode.
Oh, I mean, listen, I thought everybody was cool too, but I just didn't remember everything, every challenge, every scenario, like everything. And like War Dog remembered everything. Gavin remembered everything. And I was just like, how do you guys remember everything? Like, and you guys remember everything. And JD, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's impressive. And that says a lot. I'm sure Jeff Probst loves that. Do you like that they showed production? What do you think about all that?
I like that they had that as part of the episode. I feel like it makes the show feel bigger than it is. Like I think that Survivor is like very proud of like the operation that it is of like, you know, there's what, 200, 300 people working to make the show. Like, I think it's impressive. They should show that. You know what it reminded me of? And I know how you love the 90 Day Fiancé. Like when they go to like the 90 Day Fiancé reunion show. And then they like pull back, like you're seeing like in the control room, and then you're seeing like, all right, give me camera one. All right, let's zoom in on Sean. Okay, right. And action.
Censor Angela. No,
get ready to blur Angela in is, three, it, two.
I remember when like you're waiting and waiting to do your opening scene where they start, you know, shooting everything. And I was like, what are we waiting for? Cause you don't know, you're just in a boat waiting. And then when we finally got on like that big ship, it was like, wow. Like it was so incredible how many people and how much work and how, I mean, it was just super impressive. So I thought it was cool that they showed it because you really got to appreciate what goes into it because there is a lot of dedication and just, you know, a lot of people, man, a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was cool.
Yeah. Reem, I have a question for you. That's from Lisa has a question for you.
Hey, Robin Reem, this is Alisa. I wanted to get your opinion on two Survivor players as of episode 4 that I feel like we've seen exude such Reem daily energy, no BS personalities. And those two people I'm talking about are Sydney and Tiffany.
Okay. First off, would you agree with Alisa that
Sydney and Tiffany
are those the two people that you feel like have the most of the Reem, you know, not take any BS from anybody personality?
Tiffany is from Jersey. I have family from Jersey. I could see how they would say that. Sydney, listen, man, she's young. She's cute. I don't know. I guess she's take no BS. I'm sad that they showed her in a way that she couldn't start the fire and then threw a fit. I mean, she's just aggravated with herself because she's doing her best, but she's tired and she's hungry. And I didn't really like how they made it look like she's an emotional mess, which then led to the conversation that was Erica, not to go on a tangent, but, sure. I mean, I like independence. I like being able to say what you want. And Tiffany is killing it right now. So sure. I'll take that. Yes, please.
Yeah. I'd love to talk a little bit more about Sydney because I thought Sydney gave us some great confessionals in this episode, Reem. That this is, let me play a couple of them for you. Okay, here is Sydney talking about the finding out that Erica had said her name.
Wow. Like, what is it about me? I think they just hate me. They love to hate me. They hate me because they ain't me.
There was that one, and then
yeah,
also,
didn't they call the episode that they hate me because they hate me?
Yeah, and then there was also this.
I am like the threat of threats. Like, I'm savvy as hell. I'm good looking. I'm a physical threat.
Yeah.
Good for her, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I thought that was really fun. I love this.
Wow.
You know what? You gotta have that attitude. So I'm digging that with Sydney. So sure, thank you so much.
Yeah. Reem, I've seen people reacting negatively to Sydney on social media, where people are not
Dude,
feeling
Sydney.
Why are
you reading social media?
That's
my job.
I'm
tired of people.
Yeah.
It is your job. I'm sorry. But at the same time, you got all these trolls, man. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, did you get casted? Like, you're over here throwing shade, but you love Survivor, but you're just gonna hate on people, but you're all about being kind. Like, shut up, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Be glad you got something to watch. Don't hate on people. Mm-hmm. You know, she's going through her own shit. Like, this show kind of trolls your head a little bit as is. So why don't you roll out? Either be a fan or roll out. Nobody yeah. needs people like that. So I don't like it when people start hating on social media. It's not cool. Like, how would you feel? Turn the tables.
Right.
I just don't like it.
Well, I was just going to say that I feel like that, you know, like, I understand, like, she might not be your cup of tea, but I do feel like that the whole point of the show is to, you know, make you feel things. And, you know, not every single person is going to be your favorite. And I like that she's interesting. I mean, she's not saying anything hateful about any of the other contestants or anything like that. She might not have loved when Heather was going through the challenge, but I mean, maybe that's the worst you could say about her.
Listen, people are always going to hate on people, and someone always has to give their opinion of what they think about them. The whole point here is to have different types of personalities, different kinds of people, and you don't even really get to know these people. You know what I'm saying? You're just seeing some stuff on TV that they chose to put on that they did do, but it doesn't define them as who they are. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So what's sad is if she read it and was pissed, but I'm thinking she's thinking they hate me because they ain't me. So I'm hoping it isn't bothering her, but I just don't like people have to get like that. Like, change the channel, man. You know, you're not the kind of fan we're looking for.
Yeah.
Roll out.
This was Sydney reading social media.
Wow. Like, what is it about me? I think they just hate me. They love to hate me. They hate me because they ain't me.
Exactly. That's how I hope she's reading it, for sure.
Is that how you dealt with people on social media? Because I'm sure that while there were people that loved you, I'm sure that there were people that said, like, Reem.
Oh, dude, this one chick, this is great. I'm going to read this for you. This is awesome. And honestly, I got to give her props because it was pretty freaking funny, man. Listen, I don't care what anybody thinks. I literally don't. Unless you're like my kid, my husband, my mom.
Yeah.
Otherwise, roll out. Or my best friends, like people I choose to care about. Randos, I really don't care. But I will laugh about it because you put some thought into it. And I swear I have it here somewhere. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
It was hilarious.
What do you have? You have like a saved screenshot of something that somebody said to you?
You know what? I may have deleted it, man. You know what? After the season, someone started this group text in some app that I may have deleted. And in there, I posted it. I was like, this is hilarious. And I sent it to the cast. I just don't know where that app is because I forgot what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was really funny. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Oh, yeah. It's called GroupMe. All right. Hold on. I thought it was the funniest thing. Hold, please. Oh, yeah. You ready? I curse? No?
Yeah, go for it.
Listen up, you idiotic ass hag with 10 years or less to live. You're a useless sack of shit with no future and nothing to your credit in your life so far. it's clear to me that you voted for Chris because of what a miserable, jealous shrew you are. You saw an older, emotional woman in Julie who played the exact game you wanted to play, but were too much of a rancid, unbearable hag to get done. Like, if I were your kid, I wouldn't be proud of you. Then again, if I were your kid, I probably would have killed myself by now. Stupid bitch.
Wow.
Oh, that's,
and that was from a Julie stan.
I mean, I'm thinking that's a Julie fan. And hey, man, that's cool.
Yeah.
But honestly, she put some thought into that. So I had to let her know that I read it, but and laughed at it. It doesn't bother me. Yeah. I don't care what she thinks, dude. Like, are you that bored, man? Are you that bored?
Right. Seems like you're putting just like.
But that's I really didn't get much. Some dude said something on social media. I just noticed it in my mention or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
On Twitter, they was like, oh, please don't get Reem Daly or something. And the dude ended up being on like Australian Survivor. I didn't even know who he was. And it's like, you got a big mouth, brother, because
somebody that was,
hold on, I'll tell you who that fool was.
Somebody that was a hater.
Because I was just like,
they put them on Australian Survivor. It wasn't Russell Hance, right?
No, man. Okay. I need to give you a little better background.
Okay.
Here. I got to find it.
Yeah.
All right, so some dude posted like, where is this jackass? Oh, here it is. He thinks he's funny. So he says, Rick Devens, can you start canvassing for Jeff Probst's job? You're a walk-up start. And then he comments on his own freaking thread and says, please don't invite at the Reem Daily. And I'm like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
So I said, don't flatter yourself. And that was, I just responded, don't flatter yourself. But I was like, who is this clown? So then I do a little research and he was on Aussie Survivor. And then I'm like, oh, okay. Well, you got voted out first, fool. How about that?
Yeah.
Welcome to the loser club.
Who was it? You know what I'm saying?
Please don't vote. Shut up, man. I don't even know who you are.
Ooh. Yeah. What was their name?
I just told you. D-E-S. Dez. Some dude named Dez.
Oh, Dez. Okay. I'm sorry. I missed that. Yeah.
Dez Quilty.
Yes. Quilty. He's the first person ever voted out on Australian Survivor.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why are you even pulling me into your stupid tweet? Like, nobody cares. But he got my attention, so I said, don't flatter yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, can't believe
that.
It.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
You've got ammunition in that.
I love that
clip.
Good
job, Sydney.
I love that clip. So, yeah, I'm enjoying Sydney. I don't want to hear that Sydney sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she sucks.
Yeah.
I don't think she sucks. I don't like how they, you know, made it look like, you know, she threw a hissy fit. I mean, Erica's milking that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, what do you think of Nasir?
I love Nasir, and Nasir has been, you know, really very good. I mean, his problem is that he keeps telling secrets to Sydney, and then she keeps going back and telling the other people. That's been his biggest problem so far. But no, I really am enjoying him. He seems like he's really got the survival element down. He basically won a challenge single-handedly while two other people were trying to throw it. He's got like all of the survival instincts down. And I'm interested to know that I feel like that he's got something going on with it seems like that he's like fashioned like some sort of like a kilt or a skirt. As I was watching the episode again, I noticed this. I thought that was interesting.
Which is smart, really. You know what I mean? But what did they allow him to bring?
I don't know what his regular clothes were, but he basically, like, he seemed like he was like wrapped up. He was like in like a towel.
I saw that. Yeah.
So
airing it all out.
Yeah.
Smart.
He's very smart. I mean, Nasir knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if he just has to watch I mean, they're on to him. He already narked on Danny and
Deshaun.
Remember in the beginning?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. I mean, he was telling the truth, though. Mm-hmm. He was telling the truth. They were looking for an idol, but
yeah,
he was too quick to trust him. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back talking more with Reem Daly. But first, let's thank a sponsor. Those are our friends over at Joybird Furniture. Look, it's very important to make wherever you're living feel like home. As Nicole and I have been in a transition here for the last couple of months, we certainly know the importance of trying to make things feel like home as much as possible. Your home should show off what makes you, you. And Joybird's selection of customizable furniture and modern home decor lets you bring your unique style into your space. And great news, Joybird's fall sale is here. Of course, when you choose from what Joybird has, they've got 18,000 customization options, or browse curated collections to find the perfect piece for your one-of-a-kind style. Nicole and I got an Elliott chair from Joybird, which we absolutely loved. It was like the perfect size for two people to sit on, watch shows. Great piece to have in any home. You could book a virtual showroom appointment to chat with a showroom stylist from the comfort of your own home. From rich buttery leathers to softest velvets, you'll find fabric and texture that's right for you. And if you don't know where to start, Joybird has design specialists that are standing by to make your vision a reality for free. They've got a Joybird protection plan. If you have tiny humans who want to ruin everything, this is a great option for upholstery and leather pieces to always look as good as new without having to treat them like you live in a museum. And they've got financing rates as low as 0% APR for up to 36 months. Plus, each Joybird piece is crafted with incredible care using responsibly sourced materials, free of harmful chemicals, quality craftsmanship, stain and scratch resistant fabrics, limited lifetime warranty. Joybird Furniture can hand anything your family throws at it, literally 90 day returns as well. Joybird stands by its quality and craftsmanship. If it's not everything you hope for, you can send it back. Create a space that brings joy with Joybird. Visit joybird.com/robspodcast and get 30% off your purchase. That's joybird.com/robspodcast. That's 30% off at joybird.com/robspodcast. Now let's get back to Reem. Reem, what did you think about Nathan who came to visit? Would you have liked to have had somebody like that on the edge who knew everything about how to survive on the island?
He was adorable.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I've noticed? So there's that fruit. What is it called? It's like
breadfruit.
Yes. It's super, super dense. Like, am I wrong?
I never ate it. I just know it from watching the show.
Okay. So I'm pretty sure that there was this one tree on the edge of extinction after you got to the top. And after like a week or two, I was like, yeah, we should get that. What is that? And so Chris ended up getting one and we never even like opened it. So I'm like, I don't understand how they were able to, didn't they eat it? I feel like they said this is breadfruit and they ate it or something.
I can't speak to the breadfruit, but it seems like that they are being able to eat those they have them in Fiji. I was wondering maybe if like a year without Survivor filming, I wonder if there's like a lot more fruit available than there had been because that there's not like a previous season coming in and clearing it all out.
Oh, by the way, the whole turtle thing, man, we didn't see any turtles. So I'm thinking when did they shoot this?
March, I think.
Is that when all the turtles come?
I have no idea.
Because we were there in, we were there in June.
Yeah.
I didn't see any turtles. That was so freaking cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Reem, I don't know a lot about Fiji. I only know what I see on television.
I know, but still, spoken to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And
that's true.
I thought that, thought that I heard something on another one of your interviews where someone was talking about the turtle.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if we've even seen turtles in Fiji in other seasons. When we got to see Nathan come to visit, Jeannie was very impressed with Nathan. I thought this was an interesting description that Jeannie had of Nathan.
It was like Cirque du Soleil and the best stripper you've ever seen.
Wow.
I mean, that was impressive, the way that he went up and down the tree. Was impressive. And I tell you what, the Fijian gentleman can climb. When we were on the boat in the beginning of like the first shot for Edge of Extinction on the first episode, the Fijian dudes were going up and down those sails on those boats, man. It was incredible. Like, and they didn't even have like ropes or anything. Like, no harness. They
wow.
were just.
Yeah. I mean, it's super impressive. Reem, you know what impressed me the most that he did? When he karate chopped the coconut.
Yeah. Wow. That, honestly, that's like back in the day, you used to grab the pencil in school and you would give it a quick karate chop. You thought you were a badass, but. You're nothing compared to that dude. I mean, that is those coconuts. That's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, those coconuts.
That's major focus.
Yeah, do you see these survivors? It takes them forever to get a coconut open. And he did it with his bare hand.
I mean, I'm thinking Jeannie may have got his number before he left. What do you think?
I'm not so sure about that. I don't know. Maybe it's not quite a match. Nathan was super impressive. I hope he comes back on more seasons.
I'm sure he will. I mean, why not? It's nice to see the culture brought in on the shows. I like that, you know?
Yeah, for sure. When you were talking about the turtles with Yasa, right before that, we saw where Evie did something that she's picking up the slack from Jeff Probst this season. Because Evie is giving us a very own Previously On.
Can't you just see it now? It's like, Previously On Survivor. Yasa suffered a devastating series of losses.
Yasa has been a disaster in challenges this entire season.
But with the core remaining four, they were on a winning streak.
There it is! Yasa wins reward!
Yeah. It's a new era.
You know what? That was really, really funny. I'm happy for them, man. And he does, like he said, they've been a disaster. It's like, we know. He may, like, when you suck at a challenge, like, or when you are just frustrated, he will wreck you. And he's so good at it. And it's so annoying. But I mean, as a viewer, it's hilarious. But in that moment, you're like, dude, stop. You know what I mean? Funny.
Reem, did you ever do anything like that on the Edge?
No, but I wasn't in that many challenges, but when I was like, dude, how do you get out of this? And he was like, Reem, use your favorite word. And I was like, oh my gosh, shut up. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So annoying. Or like the first challenge to get back in where you had to like balance. That was so annoying. That was so annoying. And he was wrecking me during that too. I mean, he's right. It's not like he's wrong. He's right about everything he's saying. It's just captain obvious. You know what I'm saying?
Should you talk back to Jeff or just ignore him?
I mean, I'm sure I said something, but I would hope I wasn't rude. You don't want to be disrespectful.
Well, no, it was that's like,
I mean, you should ignore him, but you know.
You know, Penner used to like say to him, "My ass."
I mean, you do your best. You can't say what's going to happen in that moment. Period.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see.
Yeah, scroll down your list of questions, Rob. Please.
Okay. How about, I mean, this is like on the same note. Let me go to a question for you from Victoria from Baltimore.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Reem. It's Victoria from Baltimore. I have a quick question for you. Would you say that Jeff has gone a little soft? I am so sick of his motivational comments at the challenges. I want my sassy, rude Jeff back. What do you guys think? All right. Peace.
See, Reem, Victoria thinks that Jeff's too soft now.
All right, man, listen, I'm not looking to get in trouble with Jeff Pritz, but there's not that much time, dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I loved how Heather's team rallied around her, and you can mention it, but sometimes we need every minute, you know what I mean? And he loves those moments, so I'm not like trying to take that away, but you know, sometimes you're like, all right, let's get on with it. You know, we saw the beautiful moment, which was awesome. Don't get me wrong. But you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like in the first episode, did we need that much commentary, dude? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You would like to see just like Jeff and you don't need to get like all of the fourth wall broken. You don't need to have Jeff talking to you at home.
I don't need the background stories, man. Mm-hmm. I just want to watch the game, like kick it old school, you know?
Yeah. So you mean the background stories like about the players?
Like too much of the background story where we don't have that much time right now. We don't have time. And the reason why I say that is because we have three tribes and I don't know. I think that came out wrong. I don't want the background story. I don't want them elaborating on, I love the confessionals, but I just don't want Jeff going overboard with talking about things. Like, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To be fair, with the Jeff breaking the fourth wall, it got talked about a lot after the first episode. He hasn't done it very much. And I don't know how much of it they shot, but in terms of like what's been in the episode, we saw it in the first episode and like a little bit at like one of the tribal councils, and that's really been it. Like Jeff has not addressed the audience too much directly.
No, I know, but it's just like I guess I really like it when it's super stripped down.
Mm-hmm.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
Because like the whole thing with advantages and stuff like that, I'm never going to find them. So mm-hmm. I like to know that we're all on the same playing field. Let's just all fall apart here knowing that we're all screwed. I kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like the rolling of the dice, but that's, you know.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Reem, can I play a question that I got for you that I got to be honest, I really don't understand the question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you up for it? It's a little out there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is from Lyndall from Australia.
Yeah.
Lyndall from Australia has a question for you. Okay. Tell me if you know what Lyndall is talking about.
Hi, Robin Reem. It's Lyndall from Australia. What's worse, a fresh clam anus or a dead fish that looks like it's been sitting out for a while? Thanks.
Okay.
Is
this something from your season? Is this a reference that Lyndall is talking about? A clam anus?
Oh, shit. What? Say it again. I'm sorry. Sometimes the accent throws me off. Can you say it again?
Which is worse?
Hi, Robin Reem. It's Lyndall from Australia. What's worse, a fresh clam anus or a dead fish that looks like it's been sitting out for a while?
A fresh clam anus. Is this something that you said?
The dead fish that's been sitting out for a while, dude, because a bunch of flies probably surrounded it. And in that moment, that clam's anus was a good time. So,
But what is the clam anus from?
Dude, that's so funny she said that. All right, ma'am. We got this clam and we boiled it. And we had, and it was me and Chris, Rick.
Yeah.
And Keith. And we waited until everybody was there because they'd pull you for confessionals there. So we were trying to wait till everybody was there, right?
Yeah.
And it smelled so good. Like, I don't even really like seafood, dude, but I was hungry, right? And you could just smell the broth, right? And it smelled so good. And like, So when they came, when Chris came back, like, and everybody was there, we went to eat it. And there was like a piece of meat that was still there. And I was like using it kind of like as a scoop. And then I would just sit there and kind of suck on it. And I was like, can I eat this? Like, what is this? And then I was like, oh my God, what is this? There's a freaking clam's anus, man. And I even when I knew it, I was like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I was still sucking on the clam's anus. That's disgusting. But you know what? It was at that point, it was like a tool, and the broth was just like so good, dude. Like, the broth was so good that I saved it.
Yeah.
And I saved it in a shell for that night so I could soak what little rice we had in my broth. Mm-hmm. But then by the time the night came, I was like, yo, I feel sick. Cause I think in my head, I was like, I was sucking on a clam.
But how does Lindell know this story? Did you?
I told the story somewhere, I think. I don't even know where, but no.
And it stuck with Lindell.
I mean, how do you forget that?
I'll never think of a clam the same way.
Sick. I mean, I don't eat clams, dude. Like, yeah. Normal day to day, no thanks. Yeah. No thanks.
Okay.
Do you think Danny's going to go far? I really like Danny.
I mean, we've seen nothing to show us that he won't go far. Like, he's been presented like very positively and doesn't seem like he's in danger.
I like Evie too, but Evie worries me because Evie is kind of like Shan. They're both playing. Well, no, because now they're all core forward up. I guess they're good.
Mm hmm.
Like, everybody's going to love, because she seems very easy to talk to and friendly, yeah. And so is Shan. Like, those two are probably huge threats, really, and emerge. I don't know. Just chatting it up.
Yeah. Reem, did you like how they have to say these crazy expressions at the reward challenge? Because I kind of feel like that you're a purist. I feel like that you might not necessarily like that they have to say the password.
Honestly, I was impressed with how they weaved it in. And people just tend to say random shit anyway, yeah. That like you kind of don't pay too much attention to you. I wouldn't like deep dive into, oh, that was weird they said that. Well, that was weird they said that. But, you know, I mean, I guess if I heard it more than once, then I'd be like, why are they repeating that? That's weird. But the first time you hear it, you're like, that was pretty impressive how they weaved it in. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Let me play a question for you. This is from one of our listeners, Penny, who has a question for you. Here's Penny.
Hey, Robin Ream. This is Penny, representing the Boomers from Wisconsin, new patron and first-time caller, asking, you know what, dude? I noticed that Boston Rob was featured during a commercial break advertising Tough as Nails.
I know.
So, Rob, I'm wondering, who do you feel is the best Survivor contestant to represent Tough as Nails? And why is it Ream?
Okay.
Thanks for your time. I look forward to your response.
Now,
bye.
First off, Reem, are you a Tough as Nails viewer?
You know what? I would watch that because I watch those type of shows with my husband anyway. But I did. But when I was, because there was like a clean few minutes where it was showing it. And first, Boston Rob's like introducing it,
it
was the dude from Amazing Race.
Yes,
that
Phil.
Was
yeah, Phil is the host. Phil is the host. Here. Let me play this clip. Here's Boston Rob on why you should watch Tough as Nails.
Hey guys, it's Boston Rob. Don't miss the search for the toughest worker in America. Check out this sneak peek of Tough as Nails.
We need a small one.
That's a small one.
How about that?
I mean, I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. Boston Rob says you should watch.
Would
Tough
I
as
ever
Nails.
Try? Yeah. I mean, I just wanted to understand that. Was he just introducing it? He's not the host, right?
Boston Rob is not the host. Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race is the host of the show.
Okay. He is. But the whole point of Boston Rob was just that he was on Survivor and he was introducing the show.
Boston Rob loves.
I'm just trying to understand what is his affiliation.
Hey guys, it's Boston Rob.
I know he has a construction company.
Yeah.
Right?
He loves hard work.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good. Hard work is what gets the job done. I like that.
But you work hard too, Reem.
I do work hard, but I mean, listen, Boston Rob is a legend, and he's going to be thought of way before Reem Daly, and that's fine with me.
Mm-hmm. Reem, could you give us a little bit of maybe a preview? Maybe they don't know how it would go. Could you give us your, tell us, could you set up this clip to watch a preview for Tough as Nails?
I mean, you're kind of putting me on the spot. Like, what exactly did he say?
Here's what he said.
Like, wait.
Hey guys, it's Boston Rob. Don't miss the search for the toughest worker in America. Check out this sneak peek of Tough as Nails.
All right, Reem, we have you in the booth, okay? And then,
oh my god,
let me hear. Uh-huh. Hold on here, and then I'll give you the whistle, and then you go, okay?
All right,
here you go.
Hey guys, it's Reem Daly. I forgot what I was.
Okay, all right. Let's take two. All right. This is Reem Daly, Tough as Nails promo audition. Take two.
Yeah, but hey guys, this is Reem Daly. Be sure to watch Tough as Nails to find the hardest worker in America.
Okay, I think that was good.
No, I don't know.
You
could
do better.
Like,
you want another time?
I'm not trying to be a voiceover host. No, I don't want the job. I don't want the job. I'll watch it, and like honestly, that would be something that I might even be interested in being part of because I don't mind hard work, but I can't put shit together unless someone's giving me a step-by-step situation. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And they were putting together those ski lifts, which was totally cool. Did you watch it or did you fast forward?
You know, I haven't caught up on season three. We used to podcast about it. Maybe we'll do something later on this season. But no, I haven't caught up with Tough as Nails.
You should get Boston Rob on for Tough as Nails.
Yeah. Maybe let's hear what he thinks about season three.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Sister Nino, smarten up. I'm not coming on to talk to you about Tough as Nails.
It'll cost you
if you want me to talk about it.
Maybe I could get Boston Rob to do a promo for this episode of Rob as a Podcast.
Hey, it's Boston Rob. Everybody check out the new podcast with Reem Daly. Check it out.
Tough as Nails. No. I tell you what, dude. I was in Boston this summer. I freaking love Boston. I love the accent. I love the vibe. I love that this dude was in this parking spot. And I was like, and he was chilling in his truck for a while. And I was like circling then because I needed to drop my kids off at camp at this school.
Yeah.
And I was like, excuse me, are you leaving? And he's like, I'm just watching this job. And he said it in that awesome accent. And I said, do you mind moving so I can park my car? And he was like, and then I heard him on the walkie talkie going, this lady needs my spot. So he was just a gentleman and he was funny. And literally his job was just to watch this other job. I don't know. It cracked me up. But
what do you mean his job was to watch the job? He was like a supervisor?
I think it was a supervisor. Because yeah. I was like, yeah, are you going to leave? Because I needed this freaking parking spot. And he was like, well, I'm just watching them. Mm-hmm. He was just supervising. Mm-hmm. Bottom line is I got a freaking good parking spot because he was nice. And I loved his accent. And I loved that his job was to simply watch these people. I thought it was great. It mm-hmm. was like union situation. Not that I'm busting on anybody in union because you got to be in the union. You got to be protected. And I know y'all work hard. So please don't come out.
All right. Tough as Nails is all they talk about the union all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Reem, let me play another clip for you. This was Shan at Tribal Council. I want to know if you have any thoughts on this. This is Shan talking about, look, that they've all gotten real close on Survivor.
Like, we're close, we're farting on each other, we're burping on each other, everybody does it, I don't care.
I didn't do that.
Everybody lets the little gas go at night, I hear it, okay, so.
What do you think, Reem? Who's being real right now? Is it Shan or Ricard? Ricard said, no, I didn't do it.
Who's going to admit to that? Come on.
Shan does.
You know what? You hear and see things, you just, you know, it's Survivor. That's what I was told one time. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, it's Survivor. And I was like, right. I'd hate for you to walk away. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
That's your new favorite hot button.
That's the flavor of the week. Yes. That and Boston Rob setting up tough as nails. Those are my two favorites. All right, Reem, I have one more question for you from the listeners. John Tinkham always has great questions about Survivor. Wants to know this from you.
Hey, Rob and Reem, this is John. So I just happened to be listening to Rob's Best of 2020 podcast yesterday and heard Reem's story about her trials and tribulations with the Best Buy Geek Squad. Just wondered if there was any updates to her story. Hopefully some positive news came out of it. Thanks, and looking forward to hearing Reem on the podcast again.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Okay, so that, I can't talk anything. I have a better story for you, brother. I can't believe I didn't tell you this earlier.
Okay. All right, well, all right.
Neighborhood.
No pressure, but that Best Buy story was in our Best of 2020 special from last year.
Well, this one's going to be Best of 2021 because this one got ugly. And you know what? I'm not going to say anybody's name, and I bet. And they're not cool enough to even know about your podcast, so hopefully they won't come at me. But it's, you know what?
What?
All right, the Best Buy thing I can't talk about. It did get ironed out behind the scenes, but at the end of the day, I lost all my data, and that sucks, man. That really did. Like, that was heartbreaking for me, but I'm not supposed to talk about it because I had to find something. So that's that. But in my neighborhood, there's this chick. Like, it's not even her. It's like a few of them in the family running the stop sign. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
All right. So they run the stop sign, dude. And where the stop sign is, man, is where there's like a bus stop and like everybody be walking or they're across the street because it's near where the path is in the neighborhood. So you got pets, you got people, you got bus stops. And dude, like I'm talking years I've been watching this chick blow through the stop sign. Like I'm always screaming at her. It's not like I'm all low key about it. Like I'm always like, stop! You know what I mean? I'll raise my hand. I've told people who live next to them that like, yo, you need to tell your friend that, you know, they're running the stop sign. Like, and I've been in situations where we've been together, but what do you say when you never see somebody and you run into them? Like, you know, the whole time I was looking at this chick and all I could think of was you were the worst driver in the history of freaking drivers. But that's not what I'm going to say. I'm going to be polite and be like, hello, how are you? And just sit there and think in my head, right? Because if I'm going to run into this chick, it's going to be at like a function that has to do with children because right. They happen to be at functions together. So I'm going to be polite, right? I'm not going to say it there. But I sure as hell am going to keep yelling at you if you're on the damn stop sign. And there was one situation a few years ago where it was like me and a friend of mine and we were about to cross the street and she was actually stopped at the stop sign. And my friend was like, well, let's go. And I go, no, dude, I'm telling you, she doesn't know we're here. She's just stopped because she's fixing her makeup or some shit. Lo and behold, she didn't roll right through. She didn't see us. She did not see us. I knew not to walk across the street. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So meanwhile, I'm just building up to the fact that there's always a running of the stop sign. So the other day, I'm walking my dog and what happens blows through the fucking stop sign. And I was like, that's it, dude. I have had it. And I'm not proud of this. But I rushed on over to social media and I went to my neighborhood community Facebook group, which I never posted, like very rarely. But I was like, fuck it. I'm going to public shame this shit because I've literally had it. And I was like, I mean, I do have it here. So I snapshotted what I said. But what I mainly said was like, yo, you cannot get back somebody's life. it is not okay to run the stop sign. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That was like the gist of what I said. And then I was like, for my next trick, I'm going to call it out. So I called out the car she drove, but I didn't say her name. But I did say for my next trick, which wasn't necessary, but I said it and I stand behind the fact that I said it. Well, lo and behold, if other people weren't chiming in going, dude, always runs a stop sign. Like other people were like, I know, I hate it. Like people were, it wasn't just Reem Daily coming up with this shit. You know what I'm saying?
So other Meanwhile, people were saying, yes, I've noticed this also, this same person.
Yes, dude, okay. It's no secret. Like everybody fucking knows. All right. Yeah. And oh, I also ended my post with no worries. I've already called non-emergency because I did call the fucking cops. I was like, yo, like I'm sick of this shit. So then I'm sorry. Like, is this too much? Cause it no, goes go on for at least two more minutes. All right. All right, dude. So then that happened like in the morning. Right. And I don't have time to pay attention to that shit. Like, I can't even get to Facebook easily. Like, I need to get a notification to even get to Facebook. I don't know my freaking login. I don't know where the app is hiding on my phone. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so the point is I wasn't checking on the post all day. Well, later in the day, I'm talking like later, I look on it and I'm like, people are saying she lives on and put her street name. I didn't put her fucking street name, but somebody else did, right? Meanwhile, I'm like, you know what? Bam, I dropped the chick's name because I was like, that's it. I've had it. But then I noticed it wasn't posting. So I was like, why isn't it posting? Then I get a messenger. I get a hit up from one of the people in the neighborhood who's in charge of the site. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, do you have a minute? We can talk, whatever, whatever. And I was like, what? But before that, I was like, yo, why isn't what I'm saying being on here? And I remembered that there was someone who used to live in my neighborhood who was an admin on the account. And I'm like, is she fucking censoring me, man? Mm-hmm. So I reached out and she was like, nah, I mean, and then she didn't pick up the phone and then she texted me and now we're texting and she's like, why do you feel the need to be blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, bro, that chick was your neighbor. You should have told her when I told you that she was a terrible driver. You should have told her, don't tell me I'm not being neighborly and I'm not being kind because I kindly don't want to get run over or have anyone else get run over. I'm sorry. I don't think I'm public shaming or sometimes you have to get to that point, and I'm not saying shaming, but you have to let people know it is not okay. The moral to the story is they did end it up. I ended up getting my shit not censored because I'm like, that's bullshit. There's people who don't even live in this neighborhood that have access to this dumbass site that are like freaking telling people what to do. Yeah. So at the end of the day, my stuff got posted. Then I get a text from the chick who I've been complaining about this entire and she's all up. She's like, you know what? I thought we were friends and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you had my number. Why didn't you just call me? And I'm like, yo, I assume this is you. I do not have the number. We may have been in a group text at one point in time where she thought I had her number. Sure. I don't know, dude. I don't keep that. Like, sorry, I don't keep that. Anyway, so she starts lighting me up about how I could have come to her. And I'm like, stop right there, dude. Neighbor could have told you a few years ago. I'm not going to light you up at every child's event. And on top of that, how could you not hear me screaming this morning? And if me posting that shit online saved some kid's life, then bravo to me. Because mm-hmm. you need to freaking, you know what I'm saying? Comes back at me a day later saying that I'm not, that's a really bad example for the children to handle situations this way. And I'm thinking, yo, it's a bad example to run stop signs. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, at the end of the day, and I deleted that post when she reached out to me. Cause I'm like, good. I don't give a shit. Like now, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't care. I don't need it to sit there and get stale. Lo and behold, if her freaking husband didn't come driving up and down my street. Well, I live in the cul-de-sac. What are you threatening me? Like, what the hell? Don't act like you're Miss Innocent. What is this trash? Oh, it's so stupid. It's so stupid that they had to put a post up
Yeah. So what happened with her husband? Anyway, her husband was like driving up, like up and down your block. Like, we know where you live.
Yeah. That's stupid. And then my husband called me and he's like, do they drive blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, and Jeff's at the end of the driveway. Like, what, dude, you going to say something? Like, what is it? What? You know, it's like, we didn't do anything wrong. So keep driving, fool. And then they were complaining that it was so stupid. At the end of the day, they had to put up a freaking post to talk about my post. And I was like, you know what, man? Don't act like you're reprimanding me because I did nothing wrong. And then they're like, well, I mean, they were nice about it. They're like, if you would like for me to edit it and rephrase it differently, I'm more than happy to do so. But, you know, at that point, it's like, I don't care. Literally don't care.
Yeah.
The whole point of all of this stupidity was to have somebody stop at a fucking stop sign. It's not that difficult, dude.
Yeah.
Really not that hard.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I love that story, Reem, because I've always felt like that, you know, that you are all about looking out for and caring for other people that need protection. I feel like that, you know, that's like,
I mean, I don't want to sound like that.
No, but I feel like that you know, when you really go after people, like, it tends to usually be because that you feel like that there's somebody else that you need to protect.
I mean, I just don't understand why somebody can't accept responsibility for that. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not about being nice to someone. It's about freaking saving someone's life. Like, yeah. God,
yeah.
Sorry if I hurt your feelings, but guess what? Over here in real life, when someone says something to you and other people are literally backing it up, it's hard to be like, wow, that's hard to accept. I need to do better. Instead, you're just freaking like pushing what? Mm-hmm. And that's a lot, you know, that's like deep shit actually. Now we're going to come full circle back to Survivor, because on Survivor, those of you who are applying, your dream is to be on it. You need to know something, bro. You need to have a thick skin, because people got nothing to lose but to tell you what they don't like about you. And if you cannot suck that up, you will be a small train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
And you will need to get over it, and it will take time, because it, you know, it's, that's something that you just hard to hear, but sometimes you need to hear it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Reem, you've done it again.
Whatever, man. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Dude, I hope that chick doesn't freaking hear this. She's going to go nuts.
Well, that'll be the next part of the story. It's like, I'm a huge Survivor fan. And first off, it was very hurtful to have one of my favorite players, Reem, light me up on Facebook.
You know what? I don't. And honestly, we're not friends. My friends don't do shit to put animals and children in harm's way, man. Sorry, I'm not friends with people like that. So,
well, Reem, I will stop at every stop sign when I go out later today.
You should, dude, because you're going to be all sorts of fired up when your kids are out there on their bike, your new neighborhood, it's your new house, and someone thinks they're more important, that they got to get somewhere like a second earlier. That I can't wait to hear you light them up, man.
Believe me, Reem. Let me tell you that I think you have this very much in common. Maybe this is why we get along so well, because you have a lot in common with my lovely wife, Nicole, who, if she saw this happen, the guy would be driving up and down my block. I could tell you that right now, because my wife is not afraid to start a fight in a Facebook group.
Hey, man, if you're doing it for a good reason, it's worth it. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and good for your wife.
Yeah.
And I hope that you really enjoy your new digs, man.
I hope so, too. All right, Reem, anything you want to tell people to check out? Of course, Reem is on Cameo. You get a Cameo that she's going to put some work into. Because Reem, that, as we know, believes in hard work.
Oh, my God. True, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm not promoting anything. I always promote my kids' band because they are pretty awesome, but I'd rather you find it organically than only. And here's the thing with Survivor fans, dude, they're funny, man. They only give a shit about Survivor shit. Honestly, they don't care about other things, and much respect. That's why you even have any interest in any of us, because of Survivor. But, yeah, I just noticed it's not, whenever you see people start promoting different stuff, nobody cares. That's not what anybody cares about. Yeah. And it almost is a turn off. So I'm out when it comes to that. I just wish everybody health and happiness and seize the day. You never know, man. That's all I can say. And if you see something, say something.
Reem,
there you go.
What a great job you did today.
Wow.
I appreciate, in all seriousness, I appreciate always when you make some time to talk to me, because I smile the whole time every time we get to talk.
You never know what you're going to hear, dude. It's just random answers. I'm not your strategist, but you know,
you ask me a lot of questions, Reem. I don't know if you know that. A lot of the guests don't ask me a lot of questions.
You know what? Because people are busy with themselves sometimes, man. I like to hear what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
You're a smart dude.
Yeah.
Okay. You're a fun dude.
Reem.
And you're a great dad. So
I appreciate
patience
that.
Is a gift. Go and find it, you know? Enjoy them.
Yeah. And Reem, let me just say that today on the podcast, you were...
Money!
Well, I hope so. Hope so. And I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Go do something fun.
You too, Reem. All right. All the best to you. Take care, okay?
You too. Later.
Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. The great Reem Daly. One of the greats. So wonderful to catch up with Reem. Just an amazing person. I am very lucky that I get the chance to have regular conversations with Reem, who always cracks me up. Hope you enjoyed hearing from her as well. This weekend on the Rob is a Podcast Network, make sure you check out the wrestling wrap up. If you are following anything going on in the world of professional wrestling, Mari Forth and Matt Scott take you through it. Have great guests from the world of RHAP or wrestling experts every week with them. It's a great way to be able to get into a little bit of what's going on in professional wrestling on the wrestling wrap up. You could subscribe when you go to robiswebsite.com/wrestling feed. All right, that's going to do it for us here today. The next time we're talking Survivor, it's going to be on Monday night on our patron Q&A with LaTanya Starks. That should be fun. 7 p.m. Eastern. If you have a question that you didn't hear come up on any of the podcasts this week, it's a great place to come say hi. If there's something funny, an observation you have, love to hear it. robiswebsite.com/patron. That's going to be 7 p.m. Eastern on Monday. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I always appreciate when you check out all the stuff that I put out there. I love to hear from you on social media. So let me know what you're thinking of the shows. I always love to get that kind of back and forth going with the audience. So hope you're doing great. Have a wonderful weekend. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.